eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Denver Hoops and Dreams. I am your host, Jeremy Nichols, here with my co-host, Nelson Newth. Nelson, listen, man, we know what happened last night. I'm assuming that we went through a lot of the same emotions, but before we even talk about just our basketball feelings, we're going to put that to the side for right now. It's a new week. You know, it's definitely a Monday here. And just talk to us, man. How are you just doing in life? How are things with you and family?
That's so nice. I'm doing good. My my boys are actually going to be starting. My twins are going to be actually done with school. Their seventh grade class.
Nice.
Will be their last day will be Wednesday. So they'll be in summer break. And so there's all kinds of things that go along with that. You know, keeping them busy during that time.
Don't I know it? Yeah.
Yeah. And so that'll be the focus for the family is just making sure that they have a fulfilled summer break and that, you know, they get to do something. And then as we get to do something as a family with some week long vacation or some getaway, just so we can recharge the batteries and get ready for eighth grade.
Nice.
How about you, man?
Nice.
How you living? How you living, Jeremy?
I'm cool, man. I'm cool. You know, I got a lot of changes and stuff happening in my life, but you know, some good, some not so good. But at the end of the day, you know, just like we've talked about in the past, you know, life is all about adjustments, and life is about, you know, making sure that you can do your best, right? And that's all I'm doing right now. So, you know, my daughter and I, you know, we're about to, you know, hopefully lock into this new house real soon. We're almost at, you know, the home buying process is such
it's an emotional roller coaster is what it is.
Absolutely. So like right now, you know, we're still in that process right now, but you know, we're getting there. We're getting some good news and stuff from the companies and the people that we've been working with. So, you know, hopefully we get to the end of this journey real soon and I get her a new home to pretty much just kind of start that next chapter of life, you know, because I want her to have a new home before she even goes into the first grade. You know,
right.
I think that's my goal. And I think that's why I work the way that I do right now is to do what I can for her. But listen, everybody's healthy. Everybody's good. So I can't ask for any more than that, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, if you check that box, that's a really important box to check as a parent to make sure that they have a stable home and environment. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're doing that. And I work in commercial real estate. So one of the things that I like about doing what I do is the emotional part of that. For the most part, when people are looking at this, it's more of a matter of fact business approach, not the emotional entanglements that go along with buying your first home and how that can be really stressful. And plus, I don't have to work on the weekends. So I really look forward to doing that and enjoyed being in commercial real estate for some time now and enjoy obviously doing this with you, even when our team loses a game 2 at home.
Right. I love that transition. I respect that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, real life is real life. That's just that's what it is. At the end of the day, no matter what happens with our team, life goes on. That's really the most important thing. But you said it. The Nuggets did, in fact, lose game two at home. Okay. So that is the reality. And I think it was interesting for me. I did tweet about it earlier because I think I'm starting to become like that place where people go to vent now on Twitter. I'm starting to realize that.
Your tweet. Yeah.
When I make those tweets where it's like, all right, guys, listen,
what are you feeling?
How are you feeling right now? And I think the tweet has like 400 or 500 like comments. Like people are like typing in how they're feeling. And, you know, it's pretty cool to see that the same way that we feel, man, it's exactly what's happening. Of course, some people have different opinions. Some people are, you know, overreacting a little bit right now. And then some people are just like, bro, okay, they lost the game. Cool. What'd that mean? Nuggets in five. Like that's all you're hearing. You know, it depends on who you ask, but yeah, let's dive into
it. Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but first of all, I just wanted to say thank you for being my therapist. before we get started for the next 45 minutes, I want to see if there's if I can lay down on the couch and and talk about my Nugget woes and I mean, maybe I could give you some money at the end of the day to pay for the service. I don't know, but I mean, really a disappointing game two. I tweeted out, I said, before the game, and I actually got a lot of positive response on this tweet. I said, game two is the most important game in the series. Because I think what happens is people get acclimated to their environment. Miami, you knew Miami would make changes.
Right, of course.
You knew they would come in hungry. I think the other game twos that we've gone through were also really challenging games. I think game one of our first three series were fairly much in the bag and pretty easy to handle. I think game two for Minnesota and then Phoenix and then the Lakers were difficult series or difficult games, I should say. Right. And I knew this would be a difficult game for the Nuggets. And I said in my tweet, I said the others need to step up during this game. And when I meant that, I meant the others outside of Jamal and Nikola.
Yeah.
And on some level, the team responded to that. On the level of our bench, I thought the others stepped up, meaning Christian had his best game in months. Bruce Brown did his thing, and Jeff Green actually contributed with some points and some activity. And so those others actually performed at a high level. But the others, meaning KCP, Aaron Gordon, and one Michael Porter Jr. did not.
Right. Yeah. MPJ, MPJ especially, I just think, what did he have? What, 5 points and 6 rebounds? Like, as a starter on a team in the NBA finals, that's not going to cut it. That is absolutely not going to cut it. And I saw somebody say something interesting today where they said, you know, I'm wondering if Michael Porter's effort wasn't where it was supposed to be because he did not get the kudos from Michael Malone after game one, because he was playing excellent defensively, blocking shots and all these different things. And I think they were wondering if it was like a ego bruise where it's just like, dude, I just did all
what
that.
What do I have
still,
to do?
Yeah. Like, I still can't get the coach to say, listen, MPJ did his thing tonight. He was out there playing defense. He was doing this, because we saw it. And I'm telling you, being in the building when he was blocking those shots, the crowd reaction was out of this world, man. I'm telling you, it was like people, like his blocks, because you don't get to see them as often because of, you know, everything that people have said about him, his lack of defensive, whatever it is in the past. but whenever he does it, it's such an impactful moment. Like that block that he got, I can't remember who it was, either on Jimmy Butler or Caleb Martin, one of the two. And when he blocked it, it was just like, it was a, I'm talking about a forceful block. You know, I think it was like off the backboard when they had like a wide open layup or something. And when that happened, I'm telling you, the building erupted.
I'm sure.
So it, yeah, because people are like, dude, this is, it's almost like Jokic just like blocking a shot. Like I'm talking about like out of bounds style. Like Jokic gets blocks, but his blocks are not usually like those where it's just like this. You know how Embiid and all these guys try to block it to.
They're not violent.
Right. It's not a violent block. Exactly. That's the perfect word for it. And it was interesting to see that. So I thought that was an interesting angle when they brought that up.
Because I wondered that same thing, actually.
It's possible. It is possible because he does have an ego. I mean, as most of the players do. And I do think he thrives on those words of affirmation. Like he thrives on being able to hear, like, dude, you did a really good job. Because that's what I saw today. And when I read that, I wasn't thinking about it that way up until I saw that. But when I did, it was like, you know, that kind of makes sense. I'm not gonna lie.
I watched him in that first game, post game, when Michael Malone did give him some praise after he gave the chain to Aaron Gordon.
Right.
And he was kind of slumped in his chair and kind of like, you could see he was a little bit disappointed.
Right.
And even somebody after that said, hey, I wonder if what Michael Porter Jr. has to do to get that accolade. And so I don't know if we're reading too much into that, or I don't know if also maybe some of the talk about the Nuggets sweeping and this being easy and everything else got into his head. But on both sides of the ball, he really struggled. And, you know, our coach has been known to throw people under the bus after post games.
Mm-hmm.
And did it again last night.
He did.
Mm-hmm. When he said, and I'll let you maybe quote him even more, but basically that there were some people that acted like they were pouting because they were missing some shots and they did not play both sides of the basketball, meaning play on the defensive side, that they let their shot missing basically kind of affect the rest of their game.
Right.
And I was wondering, I was going to ask you, who did you think that was? Well, to me, it's an obvious Michael Porter Jr.
It's MPJ. It's MPJ.
He's basically talking about him directly.
Yeah.
And I can't disagree with him. Although I certainly don't like Malone doing that, he's got a good point. And it felt like there were a couple players that weren't up for the challenge. Like they felt like it was more of a regular season game than the finals.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, no, it you are absolutely correct. It made a whole lot of sense to me when I heard that he was talking about Michael Porter. And if you think about it, even going back to 2020, Michael Porter called out Michael Malone as well. Like they have this thing, right? They have this thing where it's just like, well, hey, you ain't coaching. Well, hey, you ain't playing defense. Well, hey, like they have this unspoken, but I guess it's kind of becoming spoken now, where you're seeing it kind of pop up. And we are here to welcome our guy, Jack Balsley, in the building, who apparently Jack didn't realize what time we were starting. So shout out to everybody listening right now. Jack has now shown up. Jack, talk to the people, man.
I don't know if I should.
Yeah.
We the doghouse.
We still like you, Jack.
Nah, you all good, Jack.
I don't know what my brain told me 8:30, but hey, I apologize, everybody.
Nah, it's all good, man. You actually missed out on something that Nelson said prior to the show that I think you're going to really like, but we'll discuss that later. But no, we were just talking about game two, you know, last night and obviously with the Nuggets losing that game. But you know what? Let me stop it right there, Jack, since you are just hopping back on here. I do want to make sure that we're able to just find out how you're doing here before we get into the basketball stuff again. Talk to us, Jack. How's your day going? How's everything going?
I mean, you know, when it's raining like this and the Nuggets lose, I can't be too happy. Just kidding. Yeah. No, life's good. Life's good when you take basketball out of it, which is very hard to do. But life's great. You know, got some great news today. So just really excited to just be here talking to you guys and always enjoy doing this.
Okay, good, good. Well, I'm hoping that you're going to share this great news that you got. You know, we always like great news. I'm sure the people like great news, but you know, if it's personal, it's all right. We get it. You know, we got you. But no, we were just talking about the fact that we saw a big difference with Michael Porter Jr. right last night, especially for the difference from game one to game two, where in game one it was blatantly clear that he was engaged on the defensive end. I mean, he was moving his feet quickly, blocking shots, getting all the rebounds. Like he played very well in game one. And then you look at game two and you did not see that same energy. Right. And a lot of the time with Michael Porter, his defense is usually dictated by the way that his offense is going, right? If he's hitting shots, then because he's playing more minutes, it means that, okay, in his mind, he's like, you know what? I guess I'll try on defense too, so that I can stay out here to keep shooting my shots while I'm in my zone. And, you know,
can
Nelson
I stop you too really quickly? I'm sorry, Jeremy, but he did do a lot of things well the first game, 13 rebounds, but he was 5 of 16 for shooting.
Wow, yeah.
In the first game. And also 2 of 11 from the three-point line.
He was, correct.
So he did have an effective game, which I think is what Malone is talking about. Like, I can live with Michael Porter Jr.
missing shots.
If he's missing shots, but if he's active on the defensive end, he's grabbing rebounds and blocking shots, this is okay.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you, but I wanted to bring that stat up because he did have a great game defensively. Offensively, he still hasn't found his niche yet.
Right.
And obviously last night, his stats were abysmal. And what was it? He was, Michael Porter was 2 of 8, 1 for 6. And I think Malone was feeling way more comfortable with Christian in the lineup because Christian was being A, defensively present, and B, showing something offensively.
Yeah, he really did. And I think it was really cool to watch Christian Brown have those moments last night, you know, especially at home in front of the home crowd. Of course, with the Nuggets losing, you don't get to really celebrate it as much because of the overall loss. But I thought that, well, I would say more so in his first stint. His second stint, not as
Matza,
much.
Matza.
Yeah. But yeah, that first stint in that first half, oh man, especially when the Nuggets were down and he came in and he had an immediate impact. Like that little turnaround fadeaway shot. Have you guys ever seen him hit that before?
That was an excuse me make. I mean, the one where he's leaning off of one foot, almost like a Sambor shuffle.
Yeah, I've never seen him.
I was like, whoa.
I've never seen him hit that before. Like, it's almost like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen, there's like a meme of Patrick Ewing as a coach, right? And he's talking to one of his guys. I guess one of his guys, I'm assuming he's a college coach now. I'm not sure the exact what college.
Georgetown.
Or Georgetown. So, but he's coaching and one of his players takes a 1 foot fadeaway shot or something. And he, like in the clip, he's asking him, he's like, have you ever practiced that shot? Like, have you ever, like, why did you take that shot? You've practiced that? I've never seen you practice that shot. That's all that I could think about in my mind when Christian Brown took that shot and hit it. Because I'm like,
What the heck just happened?
When did that ever? I've never seen that before. So, but it was cool to see him engage. We've seen him, you know, get to the point where, I mean, he's stealing the ball from people and he can cut to the basket. We've seen him do some pretty nice dunks and stuff. So I don't know how that's going to look going into game three because of what he did. Like, does that give him some more minutes going into game three on the road in Miami? I mean, the amount of money that you pay in Michael Porter Jr., he got to get significant minutes, right? So I don't know, man. It was just to see the Nuggets lose that game like that and to be that close in the end. And I think that's what it was. It was like you go down, what, 11 at first in the first half, and then the Nuggets came right back and then took, was it, maybe a 15-point lead or something. Mm-hmm. And then to lose that and then to be down 11 again and then bring that back, and it's now a 3-point deficit with 6 seconds left, and you got a chance to tie the game. And listen, man, I don't know. I don't know about those Jamal Murray shots at the ends of games anymore, guys. I don't know how confident you guys are in it personally or with those shots now, but he has not been hitting them as consistently. I mean, yes, he hit one against Portland earlier in the season, that whole Damian Lillard game, the little mid-range shot at the end, awesome. He hit one like years back against like Phoenix and then against the Bulls in the corner. So he's had those moments, but in that moment, and yes, we understand when the Murray flurry is happening, ain't really much you can do about that. But in that moment, what was going through your mind? Jack, talk to me. What were you thinking about when Jamal Murray had that ball in his hand?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, is he our most clutch shooter? I don't know. And that was kind of obviously put into question for that. But it's tough, especially in the playoffs when he just, you know, that fourth quarter against the Suns where he just turned it up, you know, where – or the Lakers, Suns. I don't know. I mixed them all together at this point. no, but like where he just, you know, took over that fourth quarter. But to your point, I think I really like to see him take over the fourth rather than that final, like last game clinching bucket. I think that, you know, his presence is there, but that last, like, it's all on you. I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. And I just, to your point, granted, it was either Murray or Jokic. I'd rather have one of them have it. And the fact it was one of the two, I was like, all right, just shoot it. But the fact that, but even then I was like, I didn't have as much confidence with them, with it going in just based on how he was playing throughout the game, you know. And of course he didn't play terrible, but he didn't step up. And I mean, even throughout the whole game, I think that, I mean, I don't know if you guys already touched on it, but I mean, Nelson's wisdom a few podcasts ago about how if Jokic gets the most points and blows a team out by just individual stats, then the Nuggets typically end up losing. So mm-hmm.
They're 0-3 right now.
So, you know, when I saw that and the 4 assists, and of course he's so otherworldly that if he doesn't get 10 assists, everybody's looking at him. But I just think that just the ball wasn't being moved around enough. Mm-hmm. And I just think the loss, especially with that game clincher, it just solidified, like, they didn't really know what they were like, how they wanted to close this game out. Like, it seemed like they were lost. And man, if that's not the worst losses, is when this is self-inflicted. Because if Miami went in here and stomped them 130 to 110, I'd be like, well, they just got outplayed. But when you're that close, and to your point, how you're bringing up, you know, the timeliness of their deficits and how they brought them back, it was a very weird performance. And of course, unfortunately, we have seen that from them, but quite frankly, a long time ago, which is nice to say. But you know, mm-hmm. when these losses kind of creep out like this again, it kind of gets me back into the mindset of, not that they're screwed, because I'm not that much of a wishy-washy fan, but it's more it's more of like, are they how they used to play, where it's like, all right, okay, we're down, like, now we're down, and kind of gave up, like, so. And they've done that in the past, but I don't know. Murray, that clutch shot. I want Nelson to answer this first, but then I have a question for you about that after.
Well, my question is more of, and this was widely talked about, and that's what makes this kind of fun, is would you have called it? If you're the coach.
I was just about to ask that.
Yeah. If you're the coach, yep. Would you have called a timeout? And, mm-hmm. and I get, you know, if Murray makes that shot, we're all saying Michael Malone's a genius.
Yeah. Yeah.
But because he missed it, this brings in a whole thing of asking why didn't you call a timeout and set up a shot for Jokic, the two-time MVP, to make a shot? Because he is a clutch shooter. Yeah. And I also think, from that same perspective, Murray did have two or three three-pointers leading up to that point to get us even back in the game.
Right.
So he was feeling it.
Yeah.
I just wonder, is there a better shot that could be set up? And here's what I honestly wonder is, everyone talks about Spoelstra being the best coach in the NBA. And he's shown, even last night, that he is a good coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were trapping at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, and the ball pressure was really strong, and they were blitzing certain people during the game. I thought Spoelstra had a really good coaching game for game two. And I'm just wondering if Michael Malone can match that coaching. And that to me has not been answered. So I don't know. Is there a play that they felt like they could have gotten out of an out-of-bounds play that would have been an easier shot than Jamal bringing up the shot without the defense getting set? And so, to me, those are the questions that I wonder. Interesting enough, and I'll end this part of it with this thought, which I just think is so ludicrous, and it makes me laugh. George Karl came out after the game and said that Malone should have taken a timeout. And I just want to say, George, are you serious, man? Are you freaking serious that you have the audacity to second guess this dude after what you did with Anthony Carter? Not once, but twice.
Who was in the crowd last night, mind you.
On inbound passes. Are you serious, my main man?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
We all remember 2009.
Yeah, dude, zip it. Zip it. You have zero credibility. Zip. Nada. Niet. Nothing. Don't even think about it, my man. Like, keep your Twitter or your tweet to yourself, brother. Like, I don't care what you say, George, and please stop. And I'm the harshest person that Michael Malone has as a critic, but I don't need to hear from you, George. So I said my piece. I feel better. See, Jeremy, I told you I needed a therapy session.
Amen. Wow. Okay. Well,
yeah, sorry.
Wow. And just to say, it is the irony of that. Like I was just saying, Anthony Carter is one of the assistant coaches on the Heat.
No,
I'm telling you, if you go look it up, like last night in the game, when they were panning over the bench, Anthony Carter was sitting right there.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yes, he was sitting right there. And I'm thinking, dude, I wonder how he feels like right now just watching this. But no, that is hilarious. And Nelson, I hope you understand. I'm going to clip that out. Okay. that's going to be a clip, because I think that. And even it's even interesting enough, you know, because I even saw George Karl on Twitter earlier today. And I think Kenyon Martin did something on FanDuel TV, and he was talking about the Nuggets in 2006 when they played against the Clippers in the playoffs. Right. And he had this whole back and forth with him and George Karl. It is those two guys will
they hate each other.
Like, yeah, they and, Kenyon and, Martin wants to fight him. Like, it's
yeah. And J.R. Smith too, with his like, oh yeah, we don't have any out of bounds plays. And
yeah. That, the team will always, well, those guys in particular, they'll always have something against George Karl. They always felt like he was the reason that they didn't get over that hump.
And I don't really care for Carmelo Anthony. And I know that's another subject. But to give Carmelo credit, he's never gotten into the fray about George Karl. He's really never gone to that side of things, because he's had plenty of reason to respond to George, because George has been really critical of Carmelo. Mm-hmm. And Carmelo, I give him a ton of credit for being the bigger person and not saying anything back. And that takes a lot, man, to not respond in that way. And Carmelo showed a lot of class in my mind.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I just kind of deferring and not really saying anything back. And I kind of like that, actually.
I saw that recently, too, because did you guys see when Carmelo retired? Mm-hmm. George Karl made a post about him, right? And in the post, he was like he's celebrating him, quote unquote. But then there's like a backhanded compliment where he's like, definitely a top 10 Nugget of all time. Now, for us that know the Nuggets, listen. Yes, I understand you got names, obviously Nikola Jokic, Alex English, like Fat Lever, like there's names that you can have.
Dan Issel,
like you can have these names in front of Carmelo, but to say top 10, like come on. And then but all the people in the comments were just like, coach, but Carmelo saw the tweet and he just responded and all he said was thank you, coach. Yeah. And that was it.
Oh, see, that was that's it. Really nice.
So exactly to confirm exactly what you just said, that just happened a week and a half ago or last week or whenever Carmelo retired.
Yeah.
Right. So
that's really classy.
So yeah, he just straight up, he was just like, you know what? I'm not even gonna get into it. But I'm telling you, if you look at the original post, all of the comments were like, yo, why are you throwing shade at Carmelo on a retirement post? Because everybody knew what it was.
Right.
You know, so I just thought that was pretty funny. Yeah, it was definitely a dig. But Jack, to just go back to that point of even with the timeout that you guys were talking about.
Yeah.
I think in that moment, I really didn't even think about the timeout until the game was over.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'll be honest with you. I was just so Nelson, exactly what you said, because I had just seen, you know, Jamal Murray hit a couple shots. And we know what happens when he starts getting hot. Right. It was just like in my mind, yes, in retrospect, sure, it you could look at it as an option. But then in my mind, it was just like, I'm just watching the game. I'm just like, dude, okay, he has 3 seconds left. He has the ball. Boom. I personally did not even look to even see if there was a timeout available until after, when everybody was just like, dude, why didn't you call a timeout? But then that's kind of it's a hindsight 2020 situation, right? Like, we all think about that after the fact, because it's like, dude, we could have had another opportunity to drop a play, blah, blah, blah. But you said it, Nelson, had that shot went in, we don't have this conversation. Right. So it's just one of those things in the moment where, I mean, Jamal wasn't having the best game prior to that, because I think you said it about Eric Spoelstra. Right. And he is a really good coach. And I think he does really well with making adjustments. I do think that them starting Kevin Love and then allowing Jimmy Butler to focus on Jamal Murray a lot more, and then allowing with that defensive setup for them to send those blitzes, like you mentioned, at Jamal Murray, and having to make him. I mean, there's a reason that he has 10 assists in the past two games, right? They are trying to play a particular defense against him in particular. And I don't know if you guys saw the post-game press conference where I believe it was Ramona Shelburne that had asked Eric Spoelstra, like, hey, so was the game plan for you guys to turn Jokic into a scorer and not a passer? And, like, immediately you could see the reaction from him. He was like, oh, boy. He's like, this is a two-time MVP. You really think that our game plan was do this or do that with him? And listen, I understand a lot of that has to do with not wanting to give out much information. But as a coach, and as a coach who respects Nikola Jokic, even as the opponent coach, right? Come on. Like, come on.
but that's what we just talked about. That is maybe his kryptonite.
Yeah,
is not involving other players to have them be effective in the game. And many people have talked about, and the pundits out there have talked about, what do we do? Do we make him just a scorer and live with him not being the facilitator? And they did that. So for Spoelstra to get mad at that says either A, he really did try to do that, right? And she blew his cover. Or B, he's just feeding us a line of crap anyways. I don't really know which one it is, but
yeah.
The bottom line is that that's worked in the past. They've lost games when he's been that score. I did think it was a nice little rub thing when Van Gundy, who I'm also not a huge fan of, either him or Mark Jackson, actually, I've gone through all these steps of first it was Spiro Dedes, and now it's Mark Jackson and Van Gundy. I cannot stand them. I think Bream is such a great play-by-play guy, but I can't deal with those two knuckleheads anymore. Yeah. Anyways, Van Gundy at the end of the game said, oh, he had 41 points and only 4 assists. Like, it was a little jab. And I'm just dude, really? Like
he controls the fact that his teammates can make shots or not.
Didn't make shots. Yeah. What a clown. Yeah. What a clown.
That is so stupid, man. It's because it's not like he wasn't passing. Like, think about it. Like, I even tweeted about it in the first half when Jokic went up and he did, like, the hook. Bro, he did a hook shot pass to Aaron Gordon. It was so beautiful. It's like he did so many plays like that. And you're sitting there like, he is trying to get his teammates involved. He didn't tell Michael Porter not to hit his wide open shots. He didn't tell Jamal Murray on a pick and roll to miss his mid-range. Like, come on now. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So, Jack, I'm killing you here, by the way, and I apologize because I'm flapping my gums and not letting you talk.
No.
I apologize. Or maybe I can phrase a question. What did you guys think? Instead of me jabbing, I'll ask the question. What did you think of KCP's performance in the game and specifically 2 defensive plays? Jack Ballsley, tell it like it is, buddy. Let's hear it.
I mean, disappointing. I feel like him and MPJ, of course, a little bit worse, but like their shooting, kind of how you were talking about earlier, just like that you can accept the shooting if their defense is up to par. But when their defense is failing, like we saw, has he ever fouled out of a game?
Not to my knowledge.
I was gonna like it's such
I don't a, think, for me, I don't it was think such this a random season, player. Though. Yeah, I don't think so.
It was such a random player to foul out. But I mean, like when his plays, of course, yes. But like, just it was weird. Very like if you told me going into the game that KCP was going to be the one to foul out and be like, I don't think they've had a guy foul out since Minnesota, which is, anyways. Yeah, it's really disappointing. I mean, he only took 4 shots, and it, granted, again, that kind of goes into the Jokic taking over. But at the same time, I mean, if you're only taking 4 shots, that means that you're also just not getting the ball. And I don't know if it was more of a disconnect there or what, but I was really disappointed on both ends of the floor for him. And I just think that, I don't know, I need to see that Suns KCP in game six. Man, I think that's the weirdest part about some of these guys. And of course, Aaron Gordon played very consistent to Aaron Gordon, so I can't really complain about his performance. But I think that some of these guys, like, it's just really, it's tough because they're either really hot or really cold. And granted, you could say that about every team, but I just feel like, especially with MPJ, we've just seen that just too much for comfort. KCP, it's more, he isn't the main scorer and he's not even the top third scorer. So it's like, that's why if he's only taking 4 shots, I'm disappointed, but I'm not like, what is happening? But like when you see guys like MPJ take shots like that, or mess up like that, especially defensively, to your point, Nelson, of talking about the defense, I just think like, it's tough to when it's like, okay, when should someone come in? Because as Jeremy, as you mentioned, they're paying him a max contract. So like, you can't not, and I think that was Tim Connolly's, you know what, finger before he left. But, you know, I just think that it's really tough because I don't know. I was about to say is because I was going to talk about this at one point. It's just funny. Cause you know, people, you know, go in saying, well, they're not going to shoot like that again, but the Heat's been doing this all playoffs. Like they've had multiple 40, I mean, they were at 48.6, but multiple 45 plus point three pointer games.
That's what they do.
So it's like, I don't know. It kind of goes back to Malone, at least defensively, of more like, you know, they do this. Spoelstra's giving you 20,000 different looks and you can't count. And like, it's just, it's not so much like he can't counter anything, but it's more like he can't switch anything up. And I think he just plays by his book just so much. And we've talked about that so much, especially when they're on a little bit of a losing streak. So we don't really have to rehash that. But I just think it was more that, you know, the defense was really just, it was just subpar. And I think it's just, it's really more about that overarching, like they were just so complacent with where they were at that I think they just got too comfortable, which is really weird. And I was going to point this out in the beginning, so I'm sorry I was tardy. after game one, during Malone's like defensive player of the game speech, I always love watching those. None of them seemed happy, like in a good way, in like a we're not done way, which I was like, okay, this is going to be great. It seems like they're just that much more motivated to go into game two. So I don't know what happened between that and the and game and like the start and end, I guess the whole end of game two as well. Like, I don't know what happened there because they seem so like this is just one win. But now it seems like, I don't know, they I don't even know if it was cockiness. Like, it was just, I think it, to me, it was even more just sluggish than anything. Yeah. But then what the hell happened with Max Strus going 0-for-10 and then going, what was it, 4-for-5 in the first quarter or yeah. something like that? And of course, he finished 4-for-10. So it's not like he dominated the whole game. But when I started that game, I had to like do the cartoon double blink of like, is that who's making all those shots?
Mm-hmm.
But it's tough because the Nuggets and the Heat are so similar in the fact that when they're on, they're on. So it to the point of like MPJ needed to step up, KCP needed to step up for their defense for sure. But at the same time, I think there's got to be more rotational or anything like that. So, Jimmy, what do you think?
Dude, you guys are killing me right now. Okay. there's just so much more to talk about. Yeah. There really is. And so what I was talking about, KCP, Jeremy, is the two closeouts.
Right.
Where he fouls.
Which were crazy shooter, to me, by the way.
Which is no just sense. Like, how do you... You're a professional basketball player in the NBA Finals. How do you make that mistake? That I didn't care about his offense. I cared about those two closeouts because they are both critical mistakes. And that's what that is. It's a mistake. Like, you're not mentally into the game. The other thing I want to say is I don't want to leave Aaron Gordon off of this little issue of effort and what he did. Excuse me, guys, but I've never known Kevin Love to be a good defender, a decent defender, a halfway okay defender, other than the fact that he takes charges at a high rate. Why didn't Aaron Gordon attack the rim again and be physical with Kevin Love? Kevin Love is a stiff. He's a softy. He's like Charmin. Like, go after him. I'm sorry, I'm on a roll. And then the other thing I wanted to say is, let's be honest. If you want to get into this next, it's fine, but I just want to go off on the refs.
That was rough.
So first off, three things. One is Jimmy Butler's out of bounds when he throws the pass to
Vincent.
Mm-hmm. Vincent to get the three-pointer. That should have never counted. That's 3 points. And obviously there's goaltending that happened and they totally missed that. That's another two. Now, again, I don't want to be a sourpuss about this and say it's because of the refs that the Nuggets lost. That's not the case, but that's 5 points, guys. And what was the difference in the score?
Three.
The last thing that I'll say, and this was all about Twitter today,
yeah,
is the ref, the main ref outside ref was born in Miami, is from Miami,
mm-hmm.
lives there currently, and went to school
with Haslam, right?
With Haslam, and yep. played on the same basketball team as Haslam.
Mm-hmm.
So how in the heck does the NBA think that that's somehow okay?
Yep.
And that in this situation where now we have two questionable calls, that the ire of the people wouldn't think about this and tell me I'm crazy, but
you're not crazy.
Tell me I'm not a conspiracy theorist because that is just, that's beyond my realm to think that the NBA would not have thought about this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's pathetic. actually. He should have never been in this game, period.
You know what's interesting, right? You remember when we had Harrison Wind on the show, right? Mm-hmm. And I asked Harrison what he thought about the refs and the refs' impact on particular games. Harrison tweeted about it last night. The same thing, because remember, he was just like, yes, of course they play a role, but then as an overall thing, it may not be the biggest thing. Oh no, he saw that last night. He absolutely saw that last night. I saw Harrison tweeting about, he was like, man, like the refs are like, they're really screwing the Nuggets. And it's just like we saw it. It was just plain as day. Everybody who is not a Miami Heat fan saw it and they were complaining like, what in the world? Like, how is that not called goaltending? Seriously, like it, for me, just watching it live, you already saw the ball coming down. Like, it wasn't, you didn't need a slowdown replay to tell. It was on its way down, and bam, hit it upward. Now, thank you. Think about it. If you're hitting something upward in this motion, it's already on its way down to you, and that's exactly what happened. But the problem was nothing happened. It was just like, okay, whatever, next play, right? And it's the same thing you said, looking at that particular ref. No, dude, that's a problem. That is absolutely a problem, because that is, in the business world, they would call that a conflict of interest, right? That's like right. There's certain things you cannot allow. Like me as a huge diehard Nuggets fan, I cannot ref an NBA Finals game. I cannot. I mean, not to say that I wouldn't call it fair, but it's just one of those things. The optics of it looks bad.
That's right.
The optics. That's all it is. I'm not saying that he's not a good person in real life or none of that type of stuff, but the optics of it, just like you said, we will break this stuff down. If we feel like the Nuggets are being treated unfairly, which they were, it's like we're going to try to find out, okay, why is this happening? And then when you really look into this particular ref, who is literally Miami from start to finish in his lifetime, it's like, dude, this is a problem. So no, you're not crazy. You're not being a conspiracy theorist. I think the theory is factual. It didn't look good. I think that's what we were trying to say. It didn't look good. It didn't feel good as a Nuggets fan to see it happening in real time. And just to know that the Nuggets lost by 3, even after Miami shot out of this world, even after the Nuggets just could not get certain players to get going with MPJ and KCP, like we just talked about. After all of that, it was a 3-point deficit at the end. I'm still sticking with my Nuggets in 6 prediction. I'm still sticking with that. Nothing has changed for me. I even went on record last time for like my last episode that I did, just my recap of like game 1. At that moment, because of the way it felt in the building, it felt like Nuggets in 5. I'm not going to lie to y'all. It did. Like it I'm watching it in there. I was like, when I went home, on my drive home, I was like, dude, this could literally be a sweep. I started to think those thoughts because you're in there and you're like, the Nuggets didn't even play their best and this was it. Like this was that. But I do give respect to Spoelstra and the Heat for the adjustments that they made. And it's just like going back to the Lakers series, right? Like, yes, the Lakers didn't win a game, but they did adjust certain things and make certain things difficult in moments. And the Nuggets had to find a way to adjust. Obviously with the Rui Hachimura thing that we spoke about. So now with the Kevin Love thing, hey, Nuggets, what you going to do? What you going to do? So you said it, Nelson. Aaron Gordon, if you don't go attack that man and stop playing, seriously, go attack Kevin Love. Get him in foul trouble and get him out of there. Like, there is no – like, you can't be playing around just because he's there and he's a nice guy who throws really good outlet passes. What is that supposed to do? Like, you better attack that man, post him up, and bang on him. Like, that's what we want to see. You know, like we saw Aaron, like if we get Aaron Gordon that we saw in game 1, like in the first quarter, Aaron Gordon was just like, oh, I'm taking everybody to the rack now. Like there's, oh, Gabe Vincent on me, goodbye. Max Strus on me, goodbye. He didn't care. He just kept attacking, and he was attacking without making it like a charge or an offensive foul. He was being really smart with his moments, and we have to get that moving forward from Aaron Gordon. We just have to.
I agree with you 100%. The one thing that made me feel good about my delusional thinking in the refs was John Hollinger, who also is a famous NBA guy. Did I say it wrong?
No. I was laughing because it brought me back to remember I sent you guys the picture of the whole the Zeke Najee
situation with
the Peyton. Oh my lord!
Wasn't that somebody, was it?
No, that was him.
It was John Hollinger.
It was John Hollinger. Yes.
Oh my bad. But John Hollinger. Yeah, that is ridiculous. That was ridiculous. But John Hollinger even said about the goaltending. He goes, "That is one of the worst calls I've ever seen in my 40 years of being in the NBA." That was one of the most obvious goaltends that I have ever seen. And for anybody to say anything different than that, they're lying to you because it was that obvious. And so that's when I knew that I wasn't completely crazy. And the Jimmy Butler thing is just factual because you see his foot out of bounds. Mm-hmm. So like, and the amazing part about that again, is that, how many annoying times do you see the refs like go, he's out of bounds and go the other way? Like that's what they're paid to do, is to pay attention to that stuff.
The guy's on the baseline for a reason.
Yeah, that's why he's there, to watch that his foot is in bounds and he doesn't make the call. It's like, come on. Again, I want to be careful because my blood pressure's getting up. My face, relax. I love that. Bad boys. My whole thought process is that the Nuggets didn't play their best game, and the others that I mentioned in my tweet did not perform. And it's Aaron Gordon, it's Michael Porter Jr., and it's KCP. You've got to get better performances going forward if you're going to win this championship. It's that simple. And I'm scared. Now I'm a little bit scared. Like, I know the Nuggets are a better team, but this team, this Heat team, beat a good Bucks team. They beat a good Knicks team. They beat a good Celtics team. You don't think they don't believe?
Oh, they believe.
They believe.
Oh, they believe. For sure, they believe.
So the better players, you know, Jokic is obviously the best of anybody in this finals, but they have to step up and show that they're present, and I think they'll get the message. I think Michael Porter Jr. will respond. I want to see the Michael Porter Jr. that we've talked about, that if he misses his outside shot, he goes to the rim and gets easy buckets. Yeah. And that will translate into other things that are positive for Michael Porter Jr. And rebound. We need you to be a good rebounder. Do not give up the three from Kevin Love. Michael Porter Jr.'s got a very easy task at hand, things that he's very capable of doing. And I believe in him, and I believe he'll bounce back.
Gotcha. Jack, any last thoughts that we got here, man?
Well, you know, I just read a tweet that Kendrick Perkins said on the Pat McAfee show that he said that Jokic needs to be marketed more.
Oh, stop it. Listen, man. I'm gonna be real with you, Jack. Dude, Kendrick Perkins is saying that Nikola Jokic should be marketed and promoted more. Is that where we are today? The same Kendrick Perkins who was the main person against Nikola Jokic, the same person who created this out of the blue narrative about Nikola Jokic and the fact that he was only winning MVP because of the color of his skin, that Kendrick Perkins is saying that Nikola Jokic needs to be promoted and marketed more. Okay, so I think we've already realized that Kendrick Perkins at this point is delusional, right? I think that is 100% fact. We realize that he is delusional because I saw that, like, right during the during the Western Conference Finals, or right before the Western Conference Finals, Kendrick Perkins got on TV and said that Nikola Jokic is the best player in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Okay. He said he is the new sheriff in town. He's the best player in the league. 1 week later, they start talking about the same best player in the league subject on First Take. And I think J.J. Redick may have been the one to mention it. And when J.J. Redick said that Jokic is the best player in the league, Kendrick Perkins said, what? So I think right now, and this is not, I'm not even, you know, really trying to be funny or shed light on something that is a serious topic, but I honestly believe that Kendrick Perkins suffers from some things. Like seriously, like he does not, like he, I don't understand him. Like he does not have one straight thought in a week. Like he would get on air and say one thing, and then the next week it's just like, what? He starts arguing with himself.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Like, how do you seriously get on there and then you expect us to take you seriously? There is never going to be a day moving forward that I'm going to respect a word that comes out of Kendrick Perkins' mouth, because he does not stick to anything that he says. He gets on there and he is one of those people that I know for a fact says every single thing for clicks. Like there is no question about it. He only does it because, like, bro, if you tell me a man is the best player in the league one day and then 4 or 5 days later, you're arguing with somebody for telling you that. Huh? How does that work? Like I don't. So
it's the same thing, brother, with Nick Wright. It's the same thing with Nick Wright. And you know what? It's really interesting, the human psyche. And I wish I could do a study because I don't understand why we pay attention to people like Kendrick Perkins and Nick Wright and any other person out there talking junk about the Nuggets. I'm not saying they don't deserve their own platform. They can have their platform, but I don't have to celebrate it and I don't have to watch it and I don't want to watch it. And there's people out there in Nuggetville that are infatuated with bringing up what these guys say to give more either A, credibility to them, or B, to have us dislike them even more. And it's not humanly possible for me personally to dislike anyone more than I dislike Nick Wright and Kendrick Perkins. I don't have the energy to hear what they say. I don't care. Yeah. I don't care about one thing that Kendrick Perkins said or says, and I don't care what Nick Wright says. They don't mean anything.
They're clowns, man.
They are clowns.
Yeah.
They are total clowns. And there's no reason to give them breath, to give them life. Because you're giving them life by showing these clips. That's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knock it off. I don't need to watch their shit. Excuse my language. Stuff. I don't need to watch their stuff, Jeremy. This is for all the children out there listening.
Okay. Well. Sorry I brought that up. Shout out to Jack.
Pissing vinegar.
You know, my closing remarks are going to be that
peace, love,
happiness.
Not war.
Go watch ESPN's First Take. No, but I, to wrap it up, I think I just really hope it's a game that they choose to answer with rather than let the Heat pick up steam. So,
One more person. I just got to throw him on there. Skip Bayless. Oh, Lord. Let's throw Skip Bayless into the mix, like another knucklehead. Like if I see another minute of that tool, like forget about it.
Yeah, I'm glad Shannon is walking away from that situation. So that's just like whatever at this point. But no, listen, the Nuggets have to respond. That's it. That's just it. Like, I think that's where we all are at this point. The Nuggets have to respond now because, you know, and I'll tell you guys this too. When they did show that Aaron Gordon, KCP, and Michael Porter refused to talk to the media after, a lot of people took that as like, ooh, these boys acting like they defeated. You know, like you kind of like a lot of people who were watching it or not watching it, you know, since they didn't do it. They took that as like, all right, cool. You know, we could see that there's some type of weakness or something happening in there. Cause that's usually what you get from that. Like after a team loses a game, but listen, it's 1-1, right? It's 1-1. All the Nuggets have to do is win one of the next two games and they have home court back. That's literally it. Right. So I think I'm not going to overreact. And it's interesting. And I could tell my growth last night when I tweeted about that, because for me, in years past, I was an overreactor. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I was always that guy. I was always that, oh man, the Nuggets stink now. Oh man, here we go again. But that has always been me. But there's just something different about what's happening right now. I don't know if it's just me as a person that has changed a bit, but there's a different feeling for me. Like, yes, the loss sucked. I get it. I feel the same way. I was still sitting there like, dude, how do we just, if he had just hit that shot, or if they had just called the goaltending, or if they had just called it out of bounds, or you start getting those thoughts in your mind. But listen, guys, and everybody listening, just if you are under the sound of my voice, just listen to me clearly. It is 1-1. We have the best player in the world. And although his teammates and comrades did not come to play last night the way that we expect, I think that Nikola Jokic is going to do everything he possibly and physically can to bring that championship to Denver, because I know that he understands how important it is. So do not fret. All we need is one of the next two. And I truly believe the Nuggets will do that, right? I still have the Nuggets in six. So think about the Phoenix Suns series as a point of reference, and that is all I will say. Go ahead, Nelson, end us off.
Oh no, I think I've talked enough for the night. but I would say Nuggets in five, which is what I said originally, and I'm sticking to it.
Me too.
It'll be interesting to see what Tyler Hero brings to this team. And as I said before, I don't know if it'll be good or bad, based on the fact that, yes, he's a very talented player, but bringing him into a mix that's already rocking and rolling, does that affect the chemistry of the Miami Heat?
It does.
It can go both ways. It can go that he could be an energizer for them off the bench and really be effective, or it could be that he's rusty and that getting him back into the rotation could be a mixed bag. So I don't think it's for sure one or the other, but it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I actually don't think he's coming back. Because yes, before the series started, we heard about maybe game two, maybe game three, but something came out today where he was actually talking about it. Yeah, like he was talking about it, and he made two statements. He basically said that there's still some soreness, so he's not really confident in it just yet. And then he also mentioned exactly what you just said. He's like, I don't know if me coming back right now is smart, considering the team has been playing well without me, and I don't want to affect the chemistry. So exactly what you just said is the same thing that he said, right? So I doubt we're going to see him unless the Nuggets like go up like 3-1, right? I think in that case, they're going to be like, okay, Tyler, we need you out there now. But I think if they feel confident, he's not going to come back until they truly, truly need him. So just to respond to what you
good
just
update.
Mentioned. Yeah. I just saw that today. So, and I think that's smart as a team player. You definitely, the bigger goal is really what matters, right? You don't want to jump in there and immediately start taking shots from Gabe Vincent or Max Strus or Kyle Lowry, even, who has actually been playing pretty well.
Or Duncan Robinson,
who he has one of the most punchable faces in NBA history. But another thing with that team, dude, like that whole grunt that he does and the snarl after playing 7 minutes a game, like, bro, stop playing with me, man. Stop playing with me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I could understand Jimmy Butler doing it. I could understand Bam Adebayo doing it, Gabe Vincent, or even Max Strus. Like, I didn't mind the Gabe Vincent look in the corner. I think it was like Christian Brown who tried to stop him, and he gave him the little look after he hit the three. I don't even mind that. But Duncan Robinson, bro, stop it, bro. Stop. You out. Like, he did it in the Boston series because and then it's always a game where he scores just 10 points. It's always that game. Like, if you score 10 points and you start looking at the crowd and looking at players, man, anyways, guys, listen, anybody who's listening right now, I know it's getting a little late now, so we're going to get up out of here. Nuggets, these gentlemen here just said Nuggets in five. I'm still going with Nuggets in six, just for the time being, but I'm hoping that I am wrong and I'm hoping that they are correct so that we can all celebrate. And I'm really looking forward to this dinner. and everything. So listen, guys, this has been amazing. We did this one for an hour, you know, and it still feels like there's so much more to talk about. That's the beauty of this stuff, right? So make sure we save some of that for the end of game three. I'm looking to see if I can get my boy Chuck Middenhall on the show for that one from The Ringer. He does excellent work, does a lot of UFC stuff, but he is a huge Nuggets fan. One of the biggest reasons why a lot of my tweets even went viral was because I think last time with the whole scruffle or whatever with Nikola Jokic and Markieff Morris, he was the one who like tweeted my stuff, and then Bill Simmons saw it, right? So we're gonna see if we can get Chuck on here to talk some Nuggets, because I know he wants to. We definitely got to get Mattia back on here, because he
wants to come back on.
He was trying to get on here today. Had we done it like early, he would have been on. But yeah, we got some people who want to really talk and speak their mind, which I love. It's always cool getting guests on here to just, you know, speak their mind. So listen, guys, as usual, this has been a whole lot of fun. But the Nuggets are coming back in the next 2 days on Wednesday night to see the Miami Heat in Miami. So they are on the road. Now, Nuggets, you've shown us that you can win on the road. Look at Phoenix game six. We saw, and KCP, I'm calling you out, my man. Not them little immature fouls, and like, he don't even do those fouls. Why are you doing it now? You know, but I'm not going to get back into that. Everybody just played better. This is Denver Hoops and Dreams, y'all. We out of here. Go Nuggets.
Go Nuggets.